Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
All pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Live from the Southern Baycourt Studios in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, it's the Eagle Hour. Luke Johnson, Michael Mergens, we're together in Hattiesburg. Happy to have you along. The second, or I should say the next to last show of 2023. Great show for you today. Danny Reed, the voice of Georgia Southern, will join us a little later in the show to preview this coming weekend's opening conference opener for the Golden Eagles men basketball teams. They take on Georgia Southern, headed out to Statesboro today. First segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you every day by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Hey, it's New Year's over the weekend. Get some Dickey's. Celebrate family and friends. Lots of football going on, NFL, college bowl season, and, of course, Golden Eagle basketball on Saturday. Let Dickey's cater your next event, or just go see our hometown team here in Hattiesburg, located just outside the Turtle Creek Mall. Well, another great recruiting class for Will Hall, kind of consensus top in the Sun Belt. And here to talk to us about it, a guy we enjoy talking to, he's the dude behind all the magic, Joe Marino, the director of player personnel, joins us now on the phone. And, Joe, welcome back to the Eagle Hour.
Luke, thank you so much for having me, man. I'm happy to be on and happy to talk about some of these cats we got coming in.
So let's talk about them. We've broke it down a little, you know, just kind of ours, our opinions and our observations, but happy to have you, the guy who's been staring at this. And I guess with signing day happening, what, 4 or 5 days before Christmas, I mean, this is what you work for all year and able to see some of these recruiting Christmas presents come in as a class comes together. What is it like for you as you see, we were done pretty early on signing day, as you start seeing these commitments come in?
Yeah, it's early Christmas for me. I love it. It was pretty early with these guys. We do a pretty good job of kind of knowing who we're going to sign on signing day and also being like, hey, let's get this stuff in early so we can all celebrate, so you can celebrate with your family, you know, do whatever you need to do. But yeah, we don't like to draw the process out as much, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, this is a class, a lot of guys. You had plenty of scholarships to work with. Coach Hall keeps talking about building that roster back. But let's just kind of you'll stick with us two segments. So we'll talk some about the high school JUCO kids and then get to portal kids, because I think a lot of Golden Eagle fans are ready to hear about some of these portal guys coming in. But just kind of reiterate high school. I mean, you got basically everybody you pick: John White, Jalen Washington, Chris Jones. You got the Hartfield kids with Reed Jezelowski, and I know that was exciting to kind of nail all those guys.
Yeah, it was strong. It was really strong. And, you know, I worried about a couple of these guys up until, you know, that Wednesday, but it ended up working out. And everybody that we hit on in high school was really somebody that was through the whole process, identified them early in the wintertime, went to see them in spring, and did well in spring practices, came here, visited in the spring, went through the whole summer process of camp, and all these guys really balled at camp. And that's our biggest component now is, you know, you can be a little more selective in this day and age with all the portal stuff going on. So, you know, get these guys to camp, get to see them live. It's the first time I get to see them live if they hadn't come to camp previously. That's one of my favorite parts of the year. And really got a lot of these commitments early, and in summer and rode it out the rest of the way. So it's a pretty good class high school-wise from the top to bottom.
We had Coach Hall on before signing day, so obviously he couldn't speak about any of these kids specifically. We had a kid on last week, Caleb Moore from Oak Grove. If I turn around here in the studio, I can see Oak Grove High School. I think he's a guy that people – When you're looking at this recruiting class, you're seeing John White pop off the page. You're seeing Chris Jones pop off the page. But Caleb Moore might be one of the best guys in this recruiting class.
Yeah, it's funny how the whole ranking system works, because up until a week or two ago, he was an 89 rating on 247, and you know how it is with us in 247, they'll knock him down if they commit to Southern Miss. But we think the world of Caleb, and he's one of the few guys in this D-line class that we have that's really polished. He's not going to be a guy that comes in and you kind of got to start from square one. He's more of a guy that knows what to do already. It'll just be a little bit of physical development for him. But, yeah, as far as IQ and technique, he's basically already there. So we'll see what he can do come this spring, honestly, because he's an early enrollee.
Other guys, early enrollee, John White coming in. Who's the sleeper in this class that you guys say, hey, he's going to be really good, just nobody knows it yet?
Yeah, I think Miles Adams. I think Miles Adams from Flomaton is probably that. Probably one of the best camps I've ever seen in my college career was this kid. He's a staggering figure, massive kid. Ran really well and just absolutely dominated in drills and one-on-ones. And from I'd be surprised if he doesn't contribute early, honestly.
Wow.
He's one of it's rare to see a freshman be able to come in and play, but it's going to be really hard to keep this guy off the field. I really think he's that special.
Miles Adams, 6'5", 260 pounds, had other offers from Troy, Texas Tech, South Florida, UAB, Liberty. So good job winning him over. Let's talk a little JUCO. You guys get several signees from the JUCO level, including one today. Tell us about the newest Golden Eagle, Dakota Thomas.
Yeah, so Dakota was a guy that we really, really fell in love with early this JUCO season. Really strong and played both, slot for them and also outside. And we have great connections at Colin through Coach Stringer and Coach Hall, obviously, and Coach Lindsay. And just kept raving about this kid. And we watched, his first two, three games. We're like, man, we see exactly what you guys are telling us. And that's a translatable, traits to this level. But he did get banged up. I think it was game five of their season. So he had to sit out the rest of the year. And he was the kind of a guy that, we had in our thoughts and going through this process. We're like, man, we have some receiver spots. Why not take a shot on a kid that we really loved early this season? And luckily we were able to land him.
So with some of the portal guys leaving and the transfers, I think offensive line really important for this program too. You get two JUCO guys in Carruth and Nunnery, and those guys have some proven track records, been a part of great programs.
Yeah, Carruth is definitely a guy that's intriguing because of the size and the basketball background, and he'll have 3 years to play. So that's one where you kind of just say, all right, well, he's big, he's got good feet, let's take him and develop him a little bit more, because he started playing football late. And Nunnery, on the other hand, is a guy that's really, my expectation for him is to be a guy right away. If he's not starting, he needs to compete to start, or it's a disappointment. But that kid he's a stud. He plays hard with an edge. He's the guy that's gonna run his mouth to you, and try to knock your face off. And that's the kind of guy that I want on the offensive line. And I think that he's going to be a guy that kind of changes the dynamic of that room.
Visiting with Joe Moreno, Director of Player Personnel for Southern Miss Football. Joe, you've been in the Northeast with Harvard. You've been out West with Stanford. And then, of course, you were at Auburn, part of a top 10 class there. Talking about JUCO, I think we take it for granted because this just happens every Thursday in the fall in this state. But, the Mississippi Junior College program, which these kids came from, we had one kid from Kansas, but it really is a treasure mine, and I think in the portal age, some of these JUCO kids getting overlooked.
Yeah, definitely. Right now, like you said, a lot of these kids are getting overlooked, so we're hitting some gold mine pieces right now, I feel like. Especially with a guy like Jordan Johnson. I didn't know about him until I flipped on the first game to be dealt to this year. It's like, gosh, this guy can really play. So there's definitely a niche there, and I didn't know about Mississippi JUCO. I obviously knew about it, but didn't really recruit it at all until Auburn. And I was like, man, this is such good ball. And obviously in states like Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, anywhere in the South, really, it's just flooded with athletes. So you can only sign so many back then. Now you can sign till you get to 85, but these guys needed somewhere to go. And a lot of them were just like one thing away, you know?
Yeah.
Either it's an academic issue, either it's a little bit physically underdeveloped right now, and it's the perfect, place for us to dig our teeth into and find a lot of these hidden gems that people might not know a ton about. But you flip the game tape on, and these guys are ready to compete at the FBS level.
We're visiting with Joe Morano, Director of Player Personnel for Southern Miss Football. We're going to step aside on our first commercial break. Before we go to commercial, remind you of Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest luxury vehicles on the road today. And coming soon, the all-new Genesis showroom on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. You'll be able to see them all. We'll talk more Southern Miss football and portal right after this as Eagle Hour continues on a Thursday.
Southern Miss to the top.
Back on a Thursday in the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Luke Johnson, not flying solo. Michael Mergen's here pushing all the right buttons, but appreciate you joining us on next to last show of the year. Second segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by Campus Bookmark, located on Hardy Street, big gold building right across from the grand entrance to the University of Southern Mississippi. Great friends over there, campusbookmark.net. And, go buy all your swag for basketball. And you need to be getting ready to pick out a new baseball hat. Just under 2 months away from opening day of baseball season. But it's all at Campus Bookmart in Hattiesburg. We continue with Joe Morano, the Director of Player Personnel for Southern Miss Football, discussing this signing class, number one in the Sun Belt, top 80 overall. And Joe, let's talk about these portal guys and talk some portal stuff right now. Eagles 8 portal transfers, and last week we looked at Pinckney and Lewis and Ryan Johnson out of Akron, Will James from Mississippi State. But during the Christmas break, three big Christmas presents, and one from the Mississippi Gulf Coast that Golden Eagle fans should be over the moon for.
Yeah. Yeah, our guy Larry, I think it's going to be an instant impact situation here. And, my expectation is for him to come in and play and be a pretty good complimentary piece to Ty Mims. He's a super athletic kid. He's already built out from being at Ole Miss. And I think he's, MJ Daniels was, buddies with him, and he's got nothing but high. Everybody we talk about Simmons has nothing but high praise, so we're fired up.
Larry Simmons is one of those guys. I mean, coming out of high school from Moss Point, he's top 10 in the state of Mississippi. But I mean, you start looking at what he had he's just P5 everywhere. I mean, SEC, yeah. Pac-12, he had an Oregon offer, had some Big Ten offers, and we recruited him out of high school as well. But I mean, it's just one of those things that didn't work out in Oxford. We're able to capitalize off of it. I mean, this guy's a huge playmaker.
Yeah, and that's the key, that you kind of just described the process right there. We stay on these guys, even, we know we're probably not going to get them coming out of high school, but maintaining a relationship or, building that relationship with the kid and the family and, being one of our top guys, if things don't work out, they feel like they – have people that they can trust, and they can always come back home to Southern Miss.
Coach Hall also talked about when he was telling us about needs from the portal, he wanted to get some tight ends in. And Kyron Heath, another guy out of Mansfield, Texas, played in 20 games for Ole Miss over the last couple of years. He was a big-time high school recruit. And that big frame, I mean, and he's an athletic tight end and can catch the football. I know he has an opportunity to make an impact also.
Yeah, I got to give credit to Coach Wilson on that. He had a previous relationship with him, and being a Texas kid, a little outside our range. But, again, he had a previous relationship, and the kid played as a freshman and then played a bunch this year for them. So a guy that could play that level, and watching his tape, he does a lot of really good things. He's a great willing blocker, and he's athletic enough in space to make plays in the passing game. So that for us, after seeing that tape, it was really a no-brainer. I think he, along with Bedford, Justin Reed, you know, and a young Jezelowski, as well as Xavius Reed coming along, that tight end room went from being pretty sparse to being pretty loaded pretty quickly.
And you know they're going to get the football because the new offensive coordinator is their position coach.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I grew up a Stanford fan, and I remember, you know, watching Notre Dame and then watching him from 16 to 18. And I think Coach Long and I went against each other once in that 2018 season. I was at Stanford, he was at Notre Dame, and he kicked our butt pretty good. So I got mad about those tight ends.
But, yeah, I mean, it's a position we thought maybe would be more utilized than it has been up to this point. Some of that's personnel. But it's good to see that tight end room stacked up. All right, a couple more. Anybody else in this class? Will James, good pickup from Mississippi State. I think Jamarius Lewis was a little surprise for Golden Eagle fans. And then you get Pinckney out of Coastal, who's familiar with the Sun Belt.
Yeah. I think starting with Jamarius, that's a guy we kind of had tabs on coming out of high school. Didn't come to camp. So it wasn't somebody we were too sure about seeing in person live. Played receiver his senior year, was a punt returner. Pretty electric player. We just never got verified information on him. He ends up going to New Mexico, plays really well out there, was arguably their best defensive player this past season, and wanted to be closer to home. And we absolutely welcome that, especially, you know, you lose a guy like Jay Stanley, and you really want to shore up that safety room. And he's a versatile kid, so he can play really field, safety, boundary, or nickel, because he'll hit you, or he's got the range to play in the passing game too. So he's a versatile player. And I think when you look at the linebackers, Trey Pinckney, Desmond Baker, we had our top three rotational guys all leave after this past season, so that was obviously arguably our most pressing need as a team, and having two guys that are really experienced, guys that we're familiar with playing against Pinckney 2 years ago, Desmond Baker being a Mississippi guy, and seeing him at Northwest and playing him at Rice in 21. So two guys that we really think are going to be plug and play and immediately help us.
Good stuff. All right, little wider glance. Kind of tell our listeners, you know, how this whole portal process works, or at least in theory, how it should work.
Yeah. So a lot of it on the front end, like we were talking about, you know, kids coming out of high school that we feel will go Power Five or SEC, and being like, all right, well, let's make sure we're doing all the right things here and making them feel comfortable with us. And you know, a few years down the road, these guys don't work it out. Once they hit that portal, my job is once that portal window is open, I got it up on my computer, and I'm refreshing constantly in the NCAA app. And once the name comes up, I look the kid up, see if it's really a position of need. You know, I don't want to waste my time with somebody that we're full at already. But you really do have to do your due diligence, because, as you know, you could have guys leave from your team too.
Yeah.
So it's really scraping over everybody and finding the guys that are most interesting to you, and the guys that their film is the best to you. It's a lot of film. You know, December's a crazy, crazy time. That's why signing day is such a celebration for us. But that's the process, really. And, you know, I'll hit up the position coach and say, hey, this guy kind of fits what we're looking for. His tape matches up with, you know, our footprint and our need, and we'll kind of go from there and see what the position coach and Coach Hall thinks, and we'll kind of make a collective decision on it.
It's got to be challenging because in NIL land now, where it's the Wild West, and I know you can probably speak to some of that. Maybe you can't, or whatever you would say about that, Joe. I mean, it's just it's frustrating. You know, like for instance, Southern Miss baseball a few years ago, we knew where the kid was going before he hit the portal, and so it's just. Right. I know it's very frustrating. So, I mean, as a group of five school, I mean, how do you counter that?
It is very difficult to counter. It's hard to say too much on it, but I will say a lot of it is expectation instead of a lot of it's expectation. Going into this process from a kid's perspective, there's an expectation of what they think they'll deserve. And I do think NIL is a great situation. I think it's a smart move. But now it's kind of the expectation if you hit the portals, you're going to get a lot of money and be able to start and all whole nine. But you really got to create a comfortable environment for these kids and your team. Your culture's got to be really strong because there's so many instances you see now, like we'll go in the portal and try to fish for some more cash, and then if not, they'll come back and it's just a lot of different variables and components that are going into it. We're recruiting a guy and hasn't played a down, and he got a lot of money to go somewhere, and it was impossible for us to compete. But that's the way the recruiting world works now. So you really got to go through every avenue you possibly can and find out as much about the kid.
You are you're up in Jersey right now at home. Hanging out, get a tad of a break. You got really excited Sunday, and this is where it becomes as a recruiter. You see a kid come out of high school, land, come out of JUCO, land, as it was with this kid, and you see him all put it together, and you see him catch his first NFL touchdown pass on Sunday. It sure meant a lot for you to see Jason Brownlee do that, right?
Yeah, nonetheless. I mean, the amount of work I do, with those guys, too, entering the draft process, because I do our pro liaison work. So I get to know all those guys at a really personal level and talk about, their background, their family, their dreams and aspirations. And I talk to the scouts about these kids all the time. So by the end of Brownlee's tenure here, we're pretty tight and, was juiced up for him. And now we're planning on maybe seeing each other.
No, that's awesome.
Saturday after Cleveland game.
That's awesome, man. Well, thanks for all that you do, and thanks for spending some time with us today. Great stuff, Joe, and appreciate all that you do for Southern Miss football.
Absolutely. Great to talk with you, Luke.
Happy New Year to you. That's Joe Moreno, the Director of Player Personnel for Southern Miss football, the man behind this outstanding recruiting class. We're going to take another commercial break. We're going to talk some Georgia Southern basketball with Danny Reed after this.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Joe Moreno, Director of Player Personnel for Southern Miss football, breaking down this recruiting class. Number one in the Sun Belt, many places. Appreciate his time joining us on the Eagle Hour today. Third segment brought to you by 4th Street Bar and Grill, located on 4th Street in Hattiesburg, home of the $9.95 lunch, your opportunity to get a great meal every day with a soft drink or sweet tea of your choice for $9.95. 4th Street Bar and Grill, of course, Southern Miss basketball this coming Saturday. That will be on at 4th Street. Let's talk about that game. Golden Eagles headed out today to Statesboro, Georgia, where it's currently 62 degrees. Danny Reed, the ninth-year voice of the Eagles, joins us. And, Danny, it's kind of that dead week, but both Southern Miss and Georgia Southern getting ready for the opening of Sun Belt play.
Yeah, it's nice to know that there was an amount of time for these guys to get away, especially after such a tough start to the season. But considering how up in the air the league is, unless you're a team that's named James Madison or App State, I think it's going to be an exciting couple of months. You've got the MAC game mixed in with the MAC SBC Challenge. But until somebody says that they're as good as James Madison or App State, I think a lot of us are going to be playing for third place at least. But that doesn't mean it can't be some exciting basketball. And hopefully for Georgia Southern, that means a win sooner than later, because I know these guys have worked for it, but just haven't been able to get that first one yet.
Yeah, 0-12 right now, Georgia Southern. Of course, it doesn't mean anything. I mean, yeah, it means momentum, and right. Yeah, it means track record. But, I mean, this is – season three now. This is the one that really matters, Danny. And just kind of talk about, let our listeners know, you know, it's been a rough start so far, 0-12. But what's been kind of, you know, the reason for some of that?
It's been a number of things. Number one, with a new staff, Charlie Henry coming over in year one as head coach. He spent 4 years with Nate Oates at Alabama. And, of course, the popular storyline was that Nate Oates lost all of his assistants. They're now D1 coaches. Brian Hodgson in this league at Arkansas State, and Antoine Petway is doing really well with Kennesaw State. However, when you combine that with 10 newcomers and the toughest schedule that Georgia Southern has ever had, no non-D1s on this schedule, so, you know, 0-12 isn't acceptable for any reason, but at the same time, I could be talking to you, and the Eagles could be 2-10 or 3-9 with a couple of non-Division I victories, and I don't think that you would really have a proper gauge on what this team is. That being said, at 0-12, I'd like to say that there's a lot to be excited about, but you do get a sense of where this team is. They've really struggled defensively. They haven't been consistent offensively. They've had a number of injuries at separate times. They've had to go with 9 different lineups in 12 games. Tyron Moore has been a consistent scorer. He's putting in about 13 points per game. They inserted Aaron Banks, a true freshman, 0.4 games ago, and he's averaging close to double figures since that happened. So I think that they're starting to see signs of it turning, but if they don't start to play consistent defense, then it's just not going to be a whole lot of victories for this team this year.
Let's go back to Coach Henry just for a minute, man. What a, you know, to be a young coach, man. He has quite the track record. You mentioned Alabama. He was at Iowa State, coached G League for the Bulls. Was with Coach Hoiberg, and was an intern with the Pacers. And I mean, this guy's been around big time basketball. Kind of, what's his philosophy? And you know, what's he ultimately want to get Georgia Southern playing like?
Yeah, for somebody that's as young as he is, he's got a heck of a resume. And watching them in practice, I've never seen a team that goes harder in practice, whether they're working on jump shots. They've shot a ton the last couple of days with all that time off. They're trying to figure out if that's going to be the way to go, completely up and down the hockey on hardwood and shoot 53s a game, or how they're going to try to manage it offensively throughout the rest of the season. But he was the defensive coordinator for Alabama those last few years. So he was the architect of some of the nation's best defenses. They were top 11 in total defense each of the last 4 years. And, yeah, when you look at guys like Charles Bediako and Brandon Miller, it's easy to see how you could be able to get stops. But he brought that mentality here. It just hasn't been able to adapt to the Sun Belt level yet. And when you've got 10 newcomers, I know that they've spent the entire offseason together, and fans would say, well, they spent all that time together, it should be able to come together a little bit better. But for a lot of the reasons that I already mentioned, with the injuries and having to change lineup combinations because the scoring hasn't been there, and when the scoring's not there, the defense hasn't been. It hasn't been a sense where it's all worked at the same time. But as much as they want to talk about the ability to make the three and find that open jump shot with the drive and kick element of the offense, this is a team that, until they start making their claim on defense, getting stops, taking the ball off the backboard and the rim instead of grabbing it out of the net, they're not going to find out who they really are. They may have to win a lot of games. If they're able to win any games, they're going to have to do it in a high-scoring sense. But if they don't start getting stops with the way that they have designed this defense, then it's going to be a challenging year regardless. But the way that they have tried to build their defense, I think that they finally have enough health where they can be consistent, but now they just have to gain confidence in that consistency and then hope that leads to some victories, because you don't want to see them lose too much if the losses just can keep continue to pile up.
Yeah, it just can be a little demoralizing, and I'm glad you brought that up. I think people think just because talent is out there, okay, that means points, that means victories. I mean, with Southern Miss starting off slower than they did last year, from all, you know, you lose Hase, you lose Pinckney, but this team is probably more athletic than the team last year. And but I mean, you know, just because Curbelo has put up two 13-point performances, but just because one person's on the floor, because that's what you do and you watch this all the time. I mean, just the way that we generally observe the game, chemistry in college basketball oftentimes beats talent in college basketball if it's spread out.
Look, I could that Southern Miss team a year ago. I know that these teams only met once last season, and it was late in the year, and I'm reading about all this, and this Southern Miss team, they won seven games the year before, and they're on the way to a 25-win season, but just watching them that day at Reed Green, it was a team that was completely bought in defensively with that matchup zone. They shared the ball offensively. The bigs passed it very well, and now turn around, and almost every major big that was on that team is either hurt or not there anymore. So it is a bit of a different identity, and I know with Alvarez gone, it's been a trying process trying to figure out who they're going to be, but as long as Curbelo's in the lineup, that's somebody that is at least all conference caliber, if not one of the best true guards in the league, and he and Mo Arnold on the floor at the same time. And if Montgomery continues to improve with that jump shot, that's what Georgia Southern's going to have to contend with. They're going to get their open looks against the matchup zone. I think they've become accustomed to knowing that they're going to be more of a jump shooting team than a driving team. Maybe this is the kind of game that can get the Georgia Southern Eagles going, be able to create some open looks by still finding some cracks in that zone. But if Georgia Southern can't keep those penetrating guards out of the lane and keep the Golden Eagles from getting open looks, then no matter how many threes they make, it's just not going to matter.
Yeah, it's kind of way with Southern Miss. You know, it's been when they have shot the mid jump shot well, they win. But if that thing ain't going, it may be a long day in the gym. Southern Miss a little shorter this year. I mentioned they're more athletic. Is this going to be a big lineup for Georgia Southern or a smaller lineup?
No, this is going to be one of the smaller lineups that Southern Miss would see all year, and I do say that with a 6'11 Carlos Curry who's been in and out of the lineup. He missed a couple of games earlier this season. He is about as big as it gets, but there have been times where Georgia Southern would get no bigger than 6'7 on court. They can play some combo forwards. Avante Parker is a freshman who is a deceptive 6'9. Depending on where they play, he can play 1-5. He's got a real nice handle on the high post if he happens to find himself there in the midst of that matchup zone. But there have been times this year where you look around and you're thinking that, okay, who's my 3, 4, and 5 men? Because any of them could be any of them with the combinations they've had to work with some of the ineffectiveness and some of the injuries. But now that you've had these almost 2 full weeks to lay low, work combinations, and figure out what can work, maybe there is something that they have been able to mine that is going to get them some victories here much sooner than later.
Southern Miss and Georgia Southern will go against each other in the Hunter Fieldhouse in Statesboro, Georgia, Saturday, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. About a minute left. Danny, I want to switch back to football, and you guys make the second bowl game in a row. What'd you think about 12 Sunbelt teams getting in? We didn't finish, but 5-7. But, man, we made a surge at the end after starting off slow as a conference.
Well, my hope is that from next year and forward, that'll be a shout to some of those bowls that need tie-ins that, hey, look at the Sunbelt. I know ideally that Keith Gill wants to have half the league going to a bowl game every year, and that's more than reasonable. But to have a year where 12 went, that should be enough of an impetus to say, hey, maybe you could start at 7 and then may have some other secondaries, because I think that this is just an indication of where this league is headed. Some people already think it's the top group of 5 league, and I think it's only getting stronger.
Me too. And last question, about 30 seconds left. Your two bell cows lose their head coaches, and you know maybe somebody else has turned to kind of rise to the top. And I know you guys have had you've had your moments in the last 2 years under Clay Helton.
You could look at that. You could say beating Nebraska, beating App State in double overtime, taking out a top 25, getting to 6-2 this year. But ultimately, it has been a 12-14 record through 26 games. You can imagine that probably riles people up in Statesboro just like it would at Hattiesburg. But hopefully, once we get to next fall, both of our programs will be able to figure it out and not only get back to the postseason, but also be a threat in the conference and win some championships.
Absolutely. Well, happy new year to you, Danny. Have a great call Saturday. Thanks for spending some time with us today on the Eagle Hour.
Guys, thank you.
It's Danny Reed, the voice of Georgia Southern. He'll be on the call 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays, the Golden Eagles. Of course, you can listen to the voice of the Golden Eagles, John Cox, and watch it on ESPN+. We'll close out the Eagle Hour on this Thursday after these commercial messages.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Appreciate Danny Reed from Georgia Southern joining us. The Golden Eagles 6-6. The Eagles 0-12. But the only thing really matters at the end of the day, who's 1-0 Saturday in the Sun Belt. Golden Eagles headed out today. Appreciate Danny joining us. Luke Johnson and Michael Mergens from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg for a segment of the Eagle Hour every day, brought to you by DBAT and D1. Softball, baseball, just around the corner. Go get some instruction lessons for your kids for the spring. The pro shop's there. Batting cages for softball and baseball. It's all at DBAT and D1. Also, want to remind you about Town and Country Cleaners, Hattiesburg's most trusted cleaners. They're family-owned and operated since 1983. They offer a variety of services, including steam pressing, shirt laundry, bulky bedding, minor alterations, and, of course, dry cleaning. Town and Country Cleaners, located conveniently across from Southern Miss on Hardy Street. You can give them a call at 601-264-4920. Already one bowl game in the books today, the Wasabi Fenway Bowl. Boston College knocking off 24th-ranked SMU earlier today, 23-14. The Bad Boy Moores Pinstripe Bowl currently going on right now. Rutgers leading the U, it's Miami, 7-0. NC State, Kansas State later. And the nightcap tonight, the Alamo Bowl in San Antonio, Arizona, and Oklahoma. Last night, pretty interesting. Just never know what's going to happen in bowl games. Tulane gets really blown out late by Virginia Tech, 41-20. USC defeats 15th-ranked Louisville, 42-28. West Virginia knocked off North Carolina. North Carolina slid down the stretch. They lost to West Virginia, 30-10. Oklahoma State defeats the SEC, Texas A&M, in the SEC's first bowl game of the year, 31-23. Updated bowl records, the MAC 2-3. That conference done for the bowl season. Mountain West 2-4. Sun Belt 5-7. The other two group of five schools, the American 2-3, Conference USA 2-1. Both those conferences still have a couple games left. The SEC 0-1, ACC 4-3, Big 12 4-1, Big 10 2-0, and the Pac 12 2-2. All right, Michael, I don't know if you saw it, but West Virginia, their coach Neil Brown, gotten dumped with mayonnaise. Mm-hmm. Did you see that?
Yes.
That's not pleasing.
That's a waste of mayonnaise. That's a commodity. And that's what we're doing with it?
And then in the Holiday Bowl, Lincoln Riley got eggnog poured on his. Would you rather have eggnog or mayonnaise?
I guess mayonnaise, because I like eggnog, and that'd be a waste of eggnog. That's expensive.
It is. So. That'd be interesting for somebody to think about how much it costs. Because what was interesting, so I would have gone with the eggnog because USC's players doused Riley, but it was like the bowl reps that dumped Neil Brown, like the players didn't even get to do it.
Yeah, it's the stuff they're coming up with. But again, in this economy, think ahead.
Is eggnog really that expensive?
Yeah, it's a little costly.
Mayonnaise. Can you just imagine mayonnaise just resting on your head for...
Maybe it was an off-brand. Wouldn't have mattered.
All right. We've talked in passing because Sanders in here, so during the break he talks on previous days. Good Christmas. And are there any Christmas and New Year's traditions that you Yankees have that we don't have down here?
Nope. Seems like you got all of them.
Really?
And there's some, of course, because of the Great Migration and everything that have kind of worked their way in, like the cabbage and black eyed peas to a small extent, but it's so serious here that everyone has to do it.
My mom used to make me do it.
Yeah.
But not anymore. Did you do that?
Never heard of it until I came down here.
But do you do it now?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Is that
a
thing in Wayne County? Teresa
yes.
brought that
oh,
up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, it is.
I can do the black eyed peas. The cabbage just is. It's.
I love cabbage, but that's a commodity in our house.
Do we know? Because you usually know these things. Like, is there a reason for that? Why people started doing that?
It's just supposed to represent money, cash, cabbage.
Cabbages?
Yeah. So that you have a fruitful New Year.
Okay. So a New Year's resolution would be not eating cabbage.
I guess. Yeah. If you don't like it, you could probably do lettuce. Same thing, cabbage, so. Lettuce. Green.
You plan anywhere over New Year's?
No, I don't. I'm done doing that.
Oh,
plus,
no.
Yeah.
No, yes. Southern Miss was talking about bringing you in for one of the...
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It does keep coming up, but yeah, not right now. Especially after this month, and we're talking off air. This was the busiest December I've ever had, and it proved because the last 2 weeks, everyone in the household's been sick. Everybody has been. But yeah, I'm looking forward to doing absolutely nothing. In fact, 2020, going into 2021, I did do a gig, but because of regulations in the city of Hattiesburg, we had to be done at 10 p.m.
Oh, wow.
Couldn't go past. So our New Year's countdown was at 10 p.m. I got done, packed up, and home by midnight, and it was great.
That's now, all right with the Bahamas.
I'd rather just sit at home and enjoy it now.
Yeah, when we were kids, being at home, being in our room was punishment. Now it's...
Did you look forward
to it? It's a reward.
I'd rather sleep.
That's right. That's going to wrap it up here for us on the Eagle Hour. Hey, when you're getting ready for New Year's, Mobay Vinya, great place. Went and got me a frozen coffee. It was really good. Beignets, saw there on Hardy Street. Go see our friends at Mobay Vinya. That's going to wrap it up. Tomorrow, Jack Duggan joins us. Going to recap the biggest stories for Southern Miss in the year of our Lord 2023. We'll catch you tomorrow. And as always, Southern Miss.
To the top.
To the sea.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.